I've asked two of our fine gentlemen of the church to share with us a personal testimony tonight. And Brother Wade and Brother Michael are going to share with us what faith means to them. Brother Wade, would you come and share first?
Well, Brother Doug asked me before we started band practice this evening, what faith means to me. And I think you can answer that question in a lot of ways. Faith can mean trusting. It can mean devotion or dedication. But to me, faith means having an absolute, unshaking, unwavering confidence that God is who He said He is, that He will do all the things that He says He will do. When you look through Scripture, whether it's David as he waits on the promise of God to become king through all of Saul's attacks and his persecution, or whether it's Noah waiting on the promise of God of rain while he builds this massive boat, the men and women of faith that you see throughout Scripture always had a confidence that God would follow through on the things that He said He would because of who He is. And I know in my own life, when I've taken the time and I've put the effort into reminding myself that God is who He says He is, that He will do all that He says He will do, whether it be in the storms of life or in the most difficult decisions or even the most day-to-day decisions. It's been amazing to me how God has moved, how God has provided, just like He says that He will. And so, for me, I hope that faith means so much that I have such a confidence in my God and who He is, and that He will provide and He will be there in the way that He says He will, that it makes a difference in the way that I live my life and the decisions that I make and the things that I say and the actions that I take, that it will be different because I have a confidence in who my God is and that He will do all that He says He will do.
Amen.
Jumping off of what Wade said, for me, faith is a rudder. And faith has been a rudder for a long time in my life. You know, I was saved at a very young age, at 7. But there's a difference between saving faith and living faith. At 7, I had saving faith. But probably around 16, I began to understand what living faith meant and what it did for your life. And so faith for me has been a rudder that's guided me for years and years and years. It's driven me everywhere that God has taken me, my faith in Him. I trust my Lord. You know, I've heard it said that your salvation should be a launch pad and not a parking lot. And I agree with that.
Amen.
Completely. It should be a launch pad. And I don't want to stay parked. And so I think God has blessed me, and I've seen Him and I've watched Him, and my faith has been strengthened. And so when I've heard Him say, "Go," I've said, "Okay, let's go. Where are you going to take me, Lord? Where are we going today? Where are we going this year? Where's my family moving to?" And I'm very thankful to say He moved us here. And I love it, and I love you. But more than that, I love Him.
Amen.
That's what faith is to me.
I want to invite your attention for just a very few moments to the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 27, it is the Lord's Supper night. And this is a very appropriate topic for the Lord's Supper that we'll be observing here momentarily. Romans, chapter 3, verse 27, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? We will read all the way through down through chapter 4, verse 8. Paul's writing here says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who would justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. What then shall we say? That Abraham our father has found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of a man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bryce, would you lead us in prayer, please? You may be seated. Paul writes this, and of course this is the course that we've gone for several weeks now. And the subject is salvation by the law or salvation by grace through faith. And Paul brings it down to a point where he said if it's by law, then you have something to brag about. And that's why he said boasting here is excluded. Now that word excluded means to withdraw fellowship from something. The idea of faith is this, that it makes it impossible to boast about what you've done or what you've earned. Why is this so important? Because it's not about you. It's about what Jesus did. Trusting in our abilities promotes boasting. Have you, and we all, well, I was thinking today at the advances that mankind has made in the last 100 years. Boy, things have changed a lot in the last 100 years. I mean, a lot. And one thing that came to my mind was the cell phone. 100 years ago, I don't know how they communicated, telegraph. But do you remember the phone? We're going to test you. Do you remember the phone where it had a crank on the side and you'd crank it and you'd speak into the little thing in the front and it would connect you to an operator? An operator would connect you to the person you wanted to go. Now, when they had that, and you know, in our society they had that, they thought, boy, that's something. That's something really good. But then we graduated. We graduated to the rotary phone. That's the one I remember. 2, click, click, click. 5, 6, click, click, click. Yeah, that's the one I remember. The kids looking at me like, huh? And that was a wonderful thing. Party line. You remember the party line? It was entertaining. You was always careful what you said on the party line, because you could be assured somebody was listening, because there were 6 or 8 other people on the same line that you were on. Today, we carry our cell phones. For some, they're even a symbol. I've got the latest and the best and the fastest. We carry in our hand a computer. A computer that will tell us where we need to go, how we can get there. If we want to talk to the other side of the world, we're just a few numbers away, and we stick that thing in our pocket, carry it with us wherever we go. And that's, we've come a long way. And you know, it'd be easy to look at where we are as a nation and brag. You know, the founding of this nation, when folks started crossing this country, they would leave one side of the country. It'd take a year to travel to the other side of the country. Now, you can do it in a few hours. Boy, we're something else, aren't we? But you know, there's a spiritual application here. When you begin to look at yourself, most of us probably tonight are not what we were a few years ago. I hope you're not what you were a few years ago. I hope we've grown. I hope we've matured in the Lord and gotten stronger in the Lord. And we can look at ourselves and maybe even brag. Look how far I've come. I don't do what I used to do. I look around and I can always find somebody else that I'm a little bit better than. I can always see somebody else that I'm more deserving of God's grace than they are because I work a little harder in God's work than they do. And then you come to this scripture. Say, when it's about faith, you have nothing whatsoever to brag about. As a matter of fact, it is impossible to brag. You see, when salvation is by faith, by grace through faith, then the words of the song, "In my hand no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling," comes to mind. The swimmer, the drowning swimmer, when he's saved, he can't brag about the trust that he had for the lifeguard. He can just brag about the salvation of the lifeguard that the lifeguard provided. You know, as I look at where we are today as children of God, I'm still reminded that one thing has not changed. We're not saved by what we've done or what we will do. We're saved by the grace of Almighty God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we look at Paul's example as he brings up Abraham. God had appeared to Abraham. And what he's referring to is Genesis chapter 15, where God had appeared to Abraham. And he had assured Abraham after Abraham had gone to battle and rescued Lot in Genesis 15, as I said. And he said, God told Abraham, "I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward." But the thing that Abraham wanted above everything else was a son. God had promised him a son, but he hadn't yet fulfilled that promise. God told Abraham to look at the stars. Look at the stars and count them if you can. Look at the stars. So shall your seed be. And God promised Abraham. And Abraham, it says, believed God's promise. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. You know, when it said that word, believed, as it's used there, or as it's used in the book of Genesis, the Hebrew word, it literally means to say amen. God said it, and Abraham said amen. Isn't that cool? That's what faith is. God said it. And Abraham said, amen. We are children of God because He said, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And we said, amen. Lord, I believe You. I trust You. I trust through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That word in chapter 4, verse 3. "For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted." That word "accounted" to him for righteousness. That word "accounted" is a banking term. This is where it gets really good. We all know banking, right? We put things into a bank account. Well, let's be more specific. We make deposits into a bank account. And we make withdrawals from the banking account. Now, if you're like me, you got to keep really close track of those deposits and withdrawals, because the withdrawals will outnumber the deposits, right? When it said, "Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness." The interesting part is God is saying there, it was deposited into his account as righteousness. That's what that means. And where it gets even better is when you go over here and it makes the analogy with David in chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." That word impute is the same word as accounted, that's translated accounted in verse 3. He took Abraham and said, Abraham's faith was deposited into his spiritual account as righteousness. And then David says there in verse 7 or verse 8, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not deposit sin into that account." Wouldn't you like to have a bank account to which there were never any withdrawals, but only deposits? Deposits, the riches, the glory, and once it's put in there, it'll never go away. That's what David is saying, or that's what Paul is writing about here when he talks about that spiritual account that you have through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have that through faith. Through faith in Jesus, it has been imputed or deposited into your account. Through faith in Jesus, their sin is never put into your account or withdrawn from your righteousness. The glory of it is that because of what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me, we have eternal riches that will never pass away. Amen. Salvation. And you go back and you understand in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, you see the suffering. You see the cost. It wasn't free. As He hung there on that cross, He hung there for you and for me. He took. You know, we imputed to Him, we deposited upon Him our unrighteousness. And He gives us His righteousness. That's what Calvary's about. The crown of thorns, the nails, the cross, the suffering, the mocking, the bleeding, the whipping. It was all about our unrighteousness being placed in the account of Jesus Christ so that He could deposit into our account His righteousness. Isn't that cool? Isn't that neat? What a blessing we have as children of God in knowing that what Jesus has placed in our account can never be removed by anyone or anyone. I look, and tonight we want to take just a moment. We're going to observe the Lord's Supper. In observing the Lord's Supper, we stop and we consider the impact that Jesus' sacrifice has had upon you and me. And I'm going to read this twice tonight, but I'm going to, at the risk of repeating myself, I'm going to read it twice because I want us to think about it. I want it to be in the forefront of our mind. Matthew 26, verse 26, Jesus instituting this supper, He said, "As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" He gave it for you so that He could deposit righteousness into your account and take your unrighteousness upon Him. Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." He took your unrighteousness and put it in His account so that He could give you His righteousness through the cleansing power of His precious blood. "For this is the blood, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now I want you to think one more thought, okay? When we talk about what Jesus has done, and we talk about eternity, tonight I want you to stop and think that yes, indeed, it's really one day going to happen. We are going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. This supper is very special because we have, tonight we will remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. But you know what? The most special Lord's Supper you'll ever attend will be the one that you attend in the presence of Jesus Himself. Amen. The day's coming when we will be in our Father's kingdom. And you know, we won't be there because of what we've done. We'll be there because of what Jesus has done for us.